And so they plan and they invite. And then what does Jesus do? He says, I am going to honor your home. I'm coming over. And what does Martha do? Martha doesn't trust the plans. Martha doesn't rely on what she's already done. Jesus shows up and Martha keeps working. She keeps trying to make sure that she can impress Jesus. Jesus has already said yes. He's already showed up. He's there to be with Martha, to be with Mary. Mary puts down the apron and sits down to do what they both wanted to happen. But Martha can't stop. She's constantly distracted. She wants the presence of God, but she can't stop trying to please God, trying to be as good as she can be. And what happens when we try to please and we don't get thanks? We get resentful. We get angry. How many times has Martha said, and you know who you are, Marthas, nobody appreciates my hard work. Nobody knows the work that I've done. Right? You start believe me, Marthas know this. We carry it with us every day. And before you know it, what ends up happening is you are doing for others, but what really ends up happening is you start resenting the people that you're doing it for. You know, Betsy can tell you, this happens when I'm doing dishes and folding laundry. In my house, that's when I do a heavy sigh. And I'll go, and my kids and my wife say, what's wrong, Dad? Nothing. Dan's on the cross, saving the family with he does the laundry, showing the world God's love through dishwashing. Right? Meanwhile, every good deed that I'm doing is lost in my resentfulness. Every attempt at love is lost in my anger. And at the end of the day, instead of loving my brothers and sisters and family, I'm saying, God, see how they treat me. And you know what it becomes? It becomes about me and not about Jesus. It becomes about me and not about others. It becomes me justifying myself. Now, I've told you before that when I study the scripture, one of the things that always just astonishes me is that every time I preach a passage that I preached 100 times, God shows me something new. It's what the Holy Spirit does is you're ready to awaken to what God is sharing. And honestly, as a pastor, if you didn't see something new, you just pull out last year's sermon. God showed me something new this time. And what God showed me is that Luke chapter 10 has two stories that actually tell the same story, one after the other. Last week we looked at the Good Samaritan. And one of the things I pointed out from the Good Samaritan story is that Jesus tells the story because of a question from the man who asked, basically, how can I be saved? How can I inherit eternal life? He answers the question correctly, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and neighbor as yourself. In the other Gospels, that's where the story ends. In Luke's Gospel, he asks another question, intentionally to, as Luke says, he wanted to justify himself, so he asked, and who is my neighbor? What does that mean? I told you last week. What this means is that the man wanted Jesus to say, you're good, they're not. The man wanted to know that what his opinion was the right opinion. Who's my neighbor? For the Levite, for the teacher of the law, his neighbor was people who were like him. Therefore, he wanted to know that what he needed to do was treat people that are like him well. And Jesus doesn't play the game. Jesus doesn't go for the bait. Jesus makes the real story the real story. And what Jesus says, he tells the Good Samaritan story. By the way, like I said last week, Jesus doesn't call him a Good Samaritan. He just calls him a Samaritan. Whether he's good or not is up to you to determine. But remember, Jesus was someone who, when this question was asked in another gospel, said, "Why do you call me good?" The Samaritan was simply someone who was an example of being a neighbor. And the man was supposed to hear that, just like we are, and supposed to say, our task is to be neighbors, not expect neighborliness. It's about how we are supposed to act. But the good is not the Samaritan. The good is Jesus. Now, when we hear that the trauma that brings up the Good Samaritan story is the desire to justify ourselves, and then the next passage is about Martha, who wants to throw Mary under the bus in order for Jesus to say, "Martha, you're right, Mary, you're wrong." What are we seeing? We're seeing another person trying to what? Justify themselves before the Lord. They're trying to get Jesus's approval of their opinions, their perceptions, their understandings of the world. And when we go down this road, we go down the road to distractions that pull us away from listening and following Jesus Christ our Lord. Spiritual distractions that lead us to basically worship ourselves. And you know what? We're guilty. It happens to us every single day. If we see someone that's driving a car that's nicer than us, than our car, then we think they spent too much money on their car. They care about their car too much. If they drive a car that's not as nice as ours, then they really don't care about what they own. But we judge all the time. And it's based on what we think is important. It was kind of fascinating, you know, because when I was growing up, the rule was you didn't buy a car that wasn't an American car. Anyone else grow up in that family? You know, GM town, you bought a GM car. And then what happened? Honda put a plant up in Ohio. Everyone started building cars. All of a sudden, you saw 50 different people that were working for 50 different car companies, and they were all in the same town. And all of a sudden, people started saying, "Did you know the Honda Accord is the car that has the most parts built in America? Well, maybe I should buy a Honda." Okay? All of a sudden, the perceptions changed. And all of those perceptions were based on sales and also based on what we were perceived as wanting. And so they sold us on an understanding so that we can think of ourselves in a certain way. I remember the first time my father drove home with a foreign car, he told me the story about the Honda Accord. Did you know, and that's where I got the information from, did you know that a Honda Accord has more American labor than Chrysler or even GM? Wow. So we're doing the right thing, aren't we? Yep. See how it works? See how it works? You got to convince yourself that you're doing something right. Now, let me back up for a second and say, I don't care what kind of car you drive. That I don't think that that's a righteous thing. You don't go to heaven in a Cadillac or an Accord. Okay, but the reality is many of us live our lives as if we do. We brand, and we think that the brand is important because we think it says something about us. It becomes a distraction. And when the church gets distracted away from Jesus, what we do is we start being something other than the Christians that we're supposed to be. We follow a fake gospel. And let me tell you this, the distractions are there all around us. Now, this is one of the most recent distractions that have been there. You're going to react to one of these people as negative. Because over the last week, that's all the news has been about. Trump versus the squad versus Trump. And they're trying to communicate to you, depending on the news show that you watch, depending on the network, they're trying to show you a name brand. I'm going to tell you this. Don't allow yourself to identify with either false side. Picking a side is about you. It's a Rorschach test. It tells you how you think. It's whether Mary or Martha are right. And let me tell you this. Mary and Martha aren't going to get you to heaven. Mary and Martha aren't the question that the world asks. The world doesn't ask, do you work hard or do you not work hard? That's not what Jesus is asking. Jesus is saying, do you have Jesus in your life or do you not? Is Jesus your Savior or not? But you'll find a way to identify with a false side because it speaks to who you are. And our basic dilemma in Christianity is that no matter what we say about Jesus being our Lord and covering us, we don't want Jesus covering who we are. We want to be uniquely ourselves instead of to be the people of God in the body of Christ. The truth is, I want to be known, but I don't always want Jesus to be known. And that's a sin as well as a shame. Do not be distracted. Both sides are wrong. Neither is virtuous. Both need Jesus. Both need grace. Jesus can save both sides, but the church, in order to share the gospel to our country, to our city, and to our world, needs to stop identifying as one side or the other and start to identify as the people of God in Jesus Christ. So what do you do when you see the faces? Pray for them. Pray for them both. They both need to see Jesus. They both need to follow after the cross. They both need the blood covering who they are. And you are the leaders that are going to show it to the world. Now the reality is that we get caught in the which side are you on? Which team are you going to join? It's got to be the Jesus team. Every other team is wrong. It's not Yankees or Mets. It's not Bills or Dolphins. It's not Ohio State, Michigan. These are not the questions of our day. The question of our day in this world for the church is, are you team Jesus or are you team world? Mary and Martha both had a chance to have Jesus in their home. Jesus didn't bite. Jesus didn't say, Mary, help Martha. And recognize also, Jesus didn't say, Martha, good job, or Martha, bad job. You know what he said? Martha, don't worry about this stuff. Don't get distracted. It's Jesus saying to the Marthas of this world, understand what's important. I'm not going to take the important thing away from her. She gets it. She's taking time with me, and I'm not going to criticize her for doing what the point and the purpose of this life is. The point and the purpose of this life is not to be a great American or a Democrat or a Republican. The point of this life is to follow Jesus and share the gospel with our friends and neighbors. But one of the saddest things in the church is that oftentimes we get more animated in bringing out the vote than we do in bringing in the sheaves. It's time for us to put God first and to only put God first. Jesus paid the price. Jesus is the one who will save us from our sinfulness. Jesus is the one who will show us the way. Don't buy the distractions. Don't get caught up in pointless controversies. Because you know what it does to this Martha? I lose sleep over that stuff. I get so animated and so angry that I have to go to repentance and say, God, help me to think about something different than this garbage that I'm being inundated with. Help me find Jesus and sit at his feet and not worry about this, that, or the other thing. Not worry about my truth, my perception, my politics. Learn to love God, to focus on God, to sit at God's feet in study and in prayer. And then, if you love God, love your neighbor. Love your Republican neighbor. Love your Democratic neighbor. Love your socialist neighbor. Love your fascist neighbor. Love your whatever neighbor. Because it doesn't matter what your neighbor's doing. Your job is to love them, care for them, and share Jesus with them. Because you're not who you are unless someone shared Jesus with you. Our world isn't static, and you don't come in with the team you leave with. I was born an Italian. I was born a Roman Catholic. I was born a Bellavia. I was saved into being a follower of Jesus Christ. My previous identity is meaningless because my identity eternally is a son of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and animated by the power of the Holy Spirit. When your day is over, who will you be? Let's pray. Loving God, you have called us to resist the temptation to become someone other than a follower of Jesus Christ. When we read your word, we see how people get caught up in the distractions of this life. They pull us off the path. They make us into people that you would not have us to become. Over and over again, you call us to fidelity in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to bear witness to the love of God. Loving God, we have our perceptions. We have our opinions. We have the political understanding of this world. Help us to repent of those things. And help us to communicate Christ in all that we are. The world needs the body of Christ. Help us to be that body. Be present with this church. Help us to communicate your love in all of our actions to all of your people. Help us to be powerful by your Spirit. Help us to be righteous by your blood, and help us to be loving by your grace. Lord God, send us as your ambassadors and help us to reflect no one else but the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray it all. And the people of God said, amen. Let's continue as we sing our song of proclamation. To God be the glory.